Join me in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. As I hit Deuteronomy, I'm somewhat surprised how many times I end up in the book of Deuteronomy from time to time. And I said that I want to preach through Deuteronomy. But I'm supposed to so many times I don't have to. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Also, in your bulletin, I'd like to ask you to bring out an insert that is entitled Guiding Principles for Youth Early Ministry. We've seen this from time to time. I will bring it to your attention here this morning. So, first, the Holy Scriptures from Moses as the writer, but of course, we know the author to be God and the Spirit. Here, Moses is talking to the children of Israel after they have left Egypt and are not too long from entering into the promised land. And so, as I said before, the book of Deuteronomy is his final sermon, his teaching, and giving reason for worshiping God. But here, his instructions. Our instruction to the leaders, but also to the families within the nation, and according to us. And so here it is. Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you, follow them so that you may live and may go in to take possession of the land that the Lord, the God, your Father, has given you. Do not ask for what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed from among you everyone who follows the Baal of Peor, but all of you who held fast the Lord your God are still alive today. See, I have taught you decrees and laws that the Lord my God commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom. Now move with me to verse 9. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children. You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens with black clouds and deep darkness. The Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of his word, but saw no form. It was only the voice. He declared to you his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commanded you to follow, and then wrote them on two stone tablets. And the Lord directed me at that time to teach you the decrees and laws you were to follow in the land that you were crossing the Jordan to possess. I pray the Lord's blessing on reading his word. As I said early, we have a wonderful opportunity here today of baptizing this young man right over here who is down from the foot. We'll try to take care of that just in a few moments. But any time, or most times when I have a baptism, I try to take the opportunity to teach on baptism or on the instructions to the parents. And this time today, I take the opportunity for instructions to the parents. I'm not going to point you out particularly, but to a parent. Among parents teaching. Now, before I start, I'd like to ask you to look at the guiding principles of our church here. I want to remind you of what is a focus for us here at East Sterling. And we see it, I see it all around as I look out across you. First of all, the biblical theme is that familiar passage from Joshua that we use. The vision, to live the full spectrum of life and obedience to the complete counsel of God. As I have spoken from the book of Mark, we are living in the kingdom of God, and we are his children. And so every part of our life, every day, every moment, every incident, every occasion should come under and be lived to the counsel of God. The full counsel of God. There is not one part of this Scripture that I can say to you does not apply. Every bit of it. Even the book of Numbers. And if you've read through the book of Numbers, sometimes you go, Lord, what are you doing with all the numbers of families and all that stuff? But yes, that applies. The purpose, we are God's children, empowered by the Holy Spirit to love and serve Jesus Christ, to preach and teach God's holy word, and to encourage others to follow Christ. That is our business that we do every day, every occasion, I pray. You see the things we value. But I want to draw your attention to the target. Families. When we wrote these guiding principles some years ago, I simply took a little time talking to all of you, but looking back on New Sterling's history. Looking back on the history and talking to the people who have been here all their lives, they said time and time and time again that New Sterling was always a place where families would come and families would go, but it was a place where families were important. Now, this is not to say other churches don't emphasize the idea of families, but I just think it is the core of our ministries here that we teach parents how to be parents, and we teach children how to be children, and we teach the nuclear family how to be a family in this very challenging, struggling world. And so our Christian Education Committee, our department there, emphasizes that through the teaching and through your with your children and all of that. And so today I'm going to support that target. And I want to instruct the family what we should be doing as we raise our children. And this does not apply to moms and dads alone. I'm going to include the grandparents, and I thank you grandparents so much for being here today. But us grandparents, we have a substantial role in this that I want to bring to your attention. First of all, back to the passage in Deuteronomy. Moses says, "Hear now, O Israel." This is the Shema. "Hear, O Israel, the decree and the laws I'm about to teach you." Now, many of us would look at that passage and say, okay, Moses is talking to Israel. How does that apply to us today? Well, I'll save you the time of going to Romans chapter 9 and pointing out to you that in the New Testament idea of Israel, we are the nation of Israel. The church is the nation of Israel. Now, Israel proper, in this time this letter was written, yes, it was the nation that God called out of the people and drew them together and named them the nation of Israel. They grew through that time, but with the coming of Jesus Christ and the identifications in the little town of Bethany, where the first Christians were named, we became the nation of Israel. So all of you who call on the name of Jesus Christ are as much Jew as the person who was born in that lineage who also called on the name of Jesus Christ. So this is written to me, and this is written to you. So when he says, "Hear now, O Israel," I will say, "Hear now, O church. Hear now, O church, the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land." Now, we're not going to take possession of any land. The Israelites did that long ago. So what land are we referring to if we look at this in a New Testament context? Heaven. Heaven. The land of the promised land given here to these people was a land of promise and a land of peace and a land of rest. But in Hebrews chapter 6, the writer there writes that the children did not gain their full rest when they entered into that promised land, that they would only gain their true rest in the ultimate land of promise, and that is heaven. And so here, O church, these laws and these decrees that we have been given, they will be ours until and as we are moving into that land of rest, and that would be heaven. Please note verse 2. I wish we, the church, could tell this to every church member, every teacher, every pastor, anyone who stands up and holds a Bible in their hand and teaches someone else.
please look very closely at verse 2. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it. Folks, how much clearer could it be? What God says to us in this Holy Bible is all He desires to say to us at this point in time. We don't have the luxury, we don't have the liberty, we don't have the wisdom to say which of this applies and which of it doesn't apply. It simply does. All of it. And so don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Just simply teach it. My point here that I would like to bring to you is verse 9. But he says, be careful. And watch yourselves closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. So folks, all that you've been taught, all that you would read in these scriptures, all that you would hear a preacher say, all that you would be taught in Sunday school, all the things that are brought to you from these scriptures, be careful. Watch yourselves. Do not let one word, one letter, one vowel, one punctuation slip from what you know. And here is the reason. Here's one of the reasons. Look at the remainder of verse 9. Teach them to your children. He is awake. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. It is the covenant. God made a covenant with Abraham long, long ago. He told Abraham the same thing. I make a covenant with you, and it is for all generations. It never ends. And so you are to teach your children, and you are to teach your children's children. And what are they to teach them? Go back to verse 9. The decrees and laws that I taught you, don't forget one of them. Don't add anything. Don't take anything away. Simply teach your children. Grandparents, I got a place for you. Look at this. It says, teach them to your children, and then to their children. We as grandparents have a responsibility to teach our children's children. How many of us take advantage of that? I know we have to be careful. I have a wonderful son-in-law. And he's a great guy. But we do things different sometimes. And I could run in there and say, Greg, you need to... And that would blow everything. Y'all know. Grandparents have to be careful. I know. We can't run in there and say, look, I told you. Because that'd be the last time I told you. And so we can't do that. But how many of us have opportunities with our grandkids? And the little subtle things that they see us doing. Lynn and I had a conversation about this a couple of weeks ago. I asked him, I said, how much time do those grandkids spend with you out in the backyard and in that shed? And Lynn said, well, a good bit. There's a lot of teaching goes on there and a lot of instruction that goes on there. And he may never say a word. But folks, here's the point. We have to teach. And we have to be aggressive because the world is stealing our children. Karl Marx said way, way long ago in his socialistic and his communistic mindset, he said, if you give me the children, in time, I'll have the nation. Folks, our children are being taken from us by all this politically correctness that goes against Scripture. And parents, if you do not stand up and say no, no, or yes, we're going to do it this way, or yes, this is what the Scriptures say, Let me point out to you what happened in Baal Peor. Look with me at verse 3. Moses stuck this in here, and he wrenched down the leverage with this statement. He said, "You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor." Well, what did he do? Turn back with me to Numbers 25, about 5 or 6 pages to your left. Numbers 25. I'll read the first 9 verses. While Israel was staying at Shittim, the men began to indulge in sexual immorality. Now, some of your translations may have a much more blunt word. Whoring. Sorry, folks. That's what it said. The men began to whore with the Moabite women, who invited them to the sacrifices to their gods. The people ate and bowed down before the gods. So Israel joined in worshiping the Baal of Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take all the leaders of these people, kill them, and expose them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the Lord's fierce anger may turn away from Israel." So Moses said to the Israel judges, "Each of you must put to death those of your men who have joined in worshiping the Baal of Peor." Then an Israelite man brought to his family a Midianite woman right before the eyes of Moses and the whole assembly of Israel while they were weeping at the entrance to the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw this, he left the assembly, took a spear in his hand, and allowed the Israelite and followed the Israelite into the tent. He drove the spear through both of them, through the Israelite and into the woman's body. Then the plague against the Israelites was stopped, but those who died in the plague numbered 24,000. Now, a little backstory. All of the people began to worship the gods of Peor, this Baal of Peor. And so God cursed them with a plague. 24,000 died. But here on this event, God called the men out and said, "Men, y'all been in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing. And my justice and my anger is burning against you." And so Eleazar took this man. Can you believe this? Here's this guy brought a Midianite wife into the tent of meeting. That ain't good. And so Phinehas, took a spear, followed them into his tent, and killed both of them right there. Why? Because they were worshiping false gods. Today, in the United States, today in our world, when we allow our families, when we allow our children, when we lead our children in ways that are in opposition to the Scriptures, when we lead our families in ways that are in opposition to God's Word, then we are no different than the gentleman who brought the Midianite woman into the tent of meeting. And we deserve the spear and death. Because God said, this ain't going to happen. Now, here in the Old Testament, God's judgment is so much more swift. His judgment hasn't changed. His justice hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. It's just simply because of Jesus Christ's work, His grace is now extended to the people. But one day, that judgment day will come and God's wrath will be released. And those of us who have followed false gods, those of us who have allowed our children to follow things that are unbiblical, may just have to face a day just such as this. Please note that yes, the people died from the plague, but who did Moses tell the Israel judges to kill? The men. the men. Guys, we said this when we were back in the book of Ephesians. Yes, we all have responsibility to lead and to live according to the work of Jesus or the teachings of Jesus Christ. But men, as it is given to us in the Holy Scriptures, we have a leading responsibility. And because of that greater responsibility, the judgment, if we err, is all the more greater. Grandfathers, that speaks to us as well. In just a moment, I'm going to ask Chad and Brandy up here. And I'm going to ask them this question. I've asked many of you this same question as I baptized your children. But I ask this question. Do you now covenant and promise and humble reliance on the grace of God to bring up your child to love God and to serve Him to the end that your child may come to commit his life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Now, every one of you have answered yes, and I assume they will answer yes as well. But I hope this question... He's fine. We're about to get to him. I hope this question will take on a bit more gravity, a bit more weight as I ask the question. Do you covenant with God to bring up your children in a way that they would come to know Jesus Christ as His Lord and Savior? We answer easily, yes. But do we do the hard stuff and follow through with that? It's hard. It's challenging in this world today. But we who are Christians have made a covenant. We are a part of a covenant that says we will teach our children. And the only way we will save our children from this world is to teach them the difference of being worldly and being Christian. We are Christian families. And so mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, teach them who Jesus Christ is.